Thank you, Ken. If you would take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. That is going to be page 864 in your pew Bible. We're going to be spending a few weeks in the first part of this chapter, probably about half of it, as Jesus is carrying on a conversation with the woman at the well. So it's John chapter 4, page 864, and today we're reading verses 1 through 6 of the Gospel of John chapter 4. Let's join together as we read boldly and loudly and proclaim this till the rafters ring. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to go to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, we rarely think of Jesus in human terms. We think of him in the miracles that he performed, the breaking of the bread, the walking on the water, the healing the sick, the raising the dead, the casting out of demons. But yet Jesus was God in man, fully divine, fully human. He was God with skin on. He was Emmanuel, God with us. And so as such, he had human emotions, human feelings, human, when I use the word weaknesses, I'm not talking about moral weaknesses, but he had a body that went through what bodies go through. In Luke chapter 2, verse 4, it tells us how he grew from being a boy to a man. It says, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was on him. He felt sorrow. Luke chapter 26, verse 37. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be grieved and agitated. Of course, the shortest verse in the Bible is John chapter 4, verse 35, three words, now Jesus wept. He experienced hunger. Luke chapter 4, verse 2, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, the NIV says he was famished. He slept. Luke chapter 8, verse 23. And while they were sailing in the boat, he fell asleep. He faced temptation. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. The writer says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. So on this day that John records in John chapter 4, Jesus is walking. He is walking from Jerusalem to Samaria on his way to Galilee, to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And from Jerusalem to where Jesus is, this story takes place, is 64 miles. Jesus has walked 64 miles, probably a journey of at least 3 to 4 days of walking and then stopping at night to rest. If this journey is being taken during the summer, when we were in Israel, the tour guide told us that in the summer, sometimes in Israel, it gets over 100 degrees. But the average temperature is about 96 degrees during the summer in the nation of Israel, with high humidity, much like we experience here. So let's just use our imagination and let's just say that maybe it's June or July in our calendar, that Jesus is walking. He's already walked 64 miles over a period of several days. It's hot, it's humid, it is noon, the hottest time of the day, and he's tired. He's possibly dehydrated. He's hungry. He's thirsty. His body is responding to the physical pressure that he has been placing on his body over this period of time. And I love how John shows us this human part of Jesus by saying he was tired from his journey. He was tired from his journey. You know, there are times that we are physically tired. Sherry and I were at the conference yesterday. We left at 12. We drove to Winter Garden to have lunch with a couple that are friends that have been, her husband's been a friend of ours for over 14 years as our financial planner, and you want that person to be your friend. And so we had lunch with he and his wife, and then we left there. We drove to Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville to see Sharon, and then we got on I-10 and got home, and we got home last night about 9 o'clock. And I'm telling you, I was tired, just tired. I got in my recliner and kicked back to watch the 49ers beat the Packers, and I didn't even stay up. It was after, when we got home, it was already a halftime, and end of the third quarter, Sherry was asleep on the couch and I was fighting sleep. It's like, let's go to bed. I'm tired. We understand being physically tired, being weary. We all experience that. But you know what? Life itself can be tiring. The pressures, the situations of life, the emotions of life, the journey of life, what we go through, the things we face, the things we have to that are brought into our lives, a diagnosis from a doctor, bad news from a family member, something happens with the economy. Life itself, being a caregiver, taking care of someone, life itself can just be exhausting at times, where you just say, God, I am tired. I'm tired of what's going on in my office. I'm tired of this pain I'm feeling. I'm tired of my body hurting. I'm tired of seeing my family suffer. I'm tired of this pain in my heart. I'm tired. I'm wore out by this. I don't think I can take this any longer. The psalmist said this, Psalm 55, beginning of verse 4, David said these words, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me." And what does David say? He said, "I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove so that I could fly away and be at rest." David said, life is pressing down on me, so if I could just get away from it for a little while, if I could just escape it for a while. In fact, he said, I would flee far away and I would stay in the desert. Have you ever just wanted to just leave it? There's every now and then, about every 4 or 5 months, I tell Sherry, honey, I need a break. Can we go to the beach today? Can we take a couple of days and go to the mountains and just, I'd love to hear a waterfall for about a day. You just want to get away. And yet David understood, even though if I could only fly away, if I could just flee from it, he understood there's some things you can't get away from. You go to the beach, you get away to the mountains, and then there's that turn where you have to head back home, and you know it's still there waiting on you. In fact, maybe even while you're away, you got a phone call about that problem, that situation, that need, that event, that thing that's going on in your life, and it's like, I just can't get away from this. Solomon said this in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 17. He said, I hate life, because the work that is done under the sun is grievous to me. All of it is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. Have you ever felt that? Pardon my vernacular, but have you ever just felt like life just stinks right now? Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 3. Jezebel has sent word to Elijah, by this time tomorrow you're going to be a dead man. It says, Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom brush. He sat down under it and he prayed that he might die. And listen to his prayer. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I've had enough. Nothing's changing. Nothing's getting any better. My marriage is not getting better, God. My family is not getting better. This pain in my heart is not subsiding. This pressure that I'm under is not subsiding. I still can't get to sleep at night, God. It's not subsiding. Paul wrote the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3. He said, I came to you in weakness, with great fear and much trembling, wore out by the journey, tired by the journey. Sherry and I were at the Global Methodist Church conference, and Thursday afternoon I met with probably about 30 pastors from this area, going from probably maybe Bristol all the way to Lake City. And I was listening to these men and women share their stories of what they and their church had gone through over the last 2 to 3 years. And one pastor stood and he said, our church is still involved in the lawsuit, because there are several lawsuits that are going on, one in Florida, one in Georgia, there's one in Arkansas, all across the country there are lawsuits going on. And he said, our church is still involved in the lawsuit, so technically we're still a United Methodist Church. And he said, I received a call telling me that unless I adhered to what the United Methodist Church believed and the direction they were going, I could no longer pastor a United Methodist Church. He said, they fired me over the phone. There are people that are hurting. Yesterday, when we arrived at Mayo Clinic, it's the first time I've ever been there, in this huge structure, and they're adding 5 more stories to it. And you walk in and you realize there are people in all kinds of situations here. Friday afternoon, listened to one of the speakers. And he was telling about his conversion story, and he said, at the age of 34, I had already attempted suicide 18 times. You know, we're living in a world that is filled with pain and hurt and sorrow and grief. And just because you're in a little isolated bubble where you say, you know, all is well right now, listen, that bubble can pop just like that. Robert Elliott was the director of the Institute of Stress Medicine. I guess you know there is a stress medicine in Denver, Colorado, and he's a professor of cardiology at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. He is known not only for his work, but he's known for this saying that he made. And he said this, in dealing with stress, rule number one is this, don't sweat the small stuff. And rule number two is, it's all small stuff. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I would tell you, it's not all small stuff. There are some things that you and I face. There are some things that you are facing right now that it in your life and in your mind and in your heart and the way it has come upon you, you would say, this isn't small stuff. This is tremendous stuff. This is big stuff. This is stuff that I don't feel like I can even carry. It's pulling me down. It's not all small stuff. We face stress, discouragement, pain, heartbreak, betrayal, broken relationships, unanswered prayers, chronic illness or injury, being a caregiver, work issues, feeling overwhelmed, financial issues. The list goes on and on and on, and it is not small stuff. And it can become overwhelming and exhausting. And you can understand to a degree why John said that Jesus was tired from his journey. Because maybe you're here today and you say, you know, Rodney, this journey I'm on right now is tiring. It's overwhelming. It just weighs me down. I can't escape it. I think about it at night. It's the first thing I think about when I wake up. I see it all around me. I see this journey that I'm on, and I'm tired from the journey. So how do I respond when I'm tired from the journey? I love what Jesus did. John said it this way. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, sat down on the well. He sat down on the well. He just sat down. And he began to let his body rest. So, what do I do when I sit down? When I just feel like this thing is overwhelming me and it is wearing me out. How do I find rest? How do I find repose? How do I find a break? Where is my halftime? When do I get to call? I love what Dick Vitale says. T.O., baby! When can I say to God, I need a time out? What do I do? How do I sit down in the midst of this tiring, exhausting journey? Well, real quickly, I'm going to tell you what I have found in my life is that Scripture is a wonderful place to find a moment of rest. It is in Scripture that I find God's presence. It is in Scripture that I find God's promises. It is in Scripture that I find God's power. I go to the Scripture. And particularly when I'm in times of real stress, I go to the Psalms. And I began to read some of the Psalms and listen to as David and the writers of the Psalms share openly and transparently about their journey, about their pain, about what they're feeling, about what they're going through. And hearing so many times them saying, but God, you are my refuge. You are my strength. You are the shelter in the midst of the storm. You are my rock. You are my shade in the desert, my oasis in the wilderness. It is you, God. And I find him in Scripture. Isaiah said this, Isaiah 41 verse 10, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The psalmist said this in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. And now listen to this next part. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. Jesus said this in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I go to the Scripture. This is the place where I sit down. This is the place where I say, Lord, I need a break. I need to hear your word, Lord. I need to read your word. I need to hear what you're saying. I need to just grab onto a promise and say, God, I'm going to hold on to this promise no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm feeling. I'm going to hold on to this promise. I'm going to hold on to the promise. If I can't hold on to anything else, I'm just going to hold on to the promise that you said you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. And even though I don't feel you, and even though all I feel is this weight of life, I'm just going to believe by faith that you'll never leave me and you'll never forsake me. I go to God's Word when I need to sit down on the well and rest. And the second place that I go to when I'm sitting on the well is I go to prayer. I go to prayer. Prayer is not some fancy King James Version English thing that you have to make up and try to figure out how can I pray a prayer that God will hear and understand and answer. I love the prayer that Peter made when he began walking on the water and he saw the wind and the wave boisterous and he began to sink. He said three words, Lord, save me. You know, that's a good prayer to pray when you feel overwhelmed, exhausted, tired out by the journey. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, be near me. Lord, hold me. When my oldest son, Sean, was a little boy, he wouldn't say, pick me up. He would say, and I'm going to do my best, he couldn't say the word hold. He would come to me and he'd grab me. He'd say, Daddy, I want to hold you. I want to hold you. That meant, I want you to pick me up, Daddy. Wednesday, I had lunch with my youngest son. And Ryan's about 6'3", weighs about 220 pounds. Big old boy like his dad. We walked out to the car. He had parked by me. And we walked out to the car, and he turned around, and he just threw up in his arms, and he just enveloped me. And he just held on for a while. He said, Dad, I love you. I said, Ryan, I love you, bud. And if you don't let go, I'm going to lose my lunch right out here. I know you can't feel it. Literally, figuratively. But you know what? Prayer allows me to come to the Father and say, I need to hold you. I need to know you're holding me. I need to know that you're wrapping your arms around me. I need to know that you know where I'm going and you're with me and you're guiding me. And you're not going to let me go. I find that in prayer. I find that I don't have to be kneeling. I don't have to have praise and worship music going. I don't have to have the lights down dim. I don't have to have a little bit of incense blowing up. I can just come to Him and say, oh God, help me. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then he tells us what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh. There are times that I go in my office and I just get down on my face and just pray. But there are also times I get up in the morning, usually about 5:15. I grab a cup of coffee. I go get my recliner. I kick it back one notch. And I just lift my hands. And I tell God what day it is. I say, God, on Sunday, January 21st, 2024, I surrender to you. I surrender to your will, your plan, your hand. I surrender. You don't have to be in a special place during a special time with special music and a special ambiance to pray. God can hear you when you're driving down the road. God can hear you when you're sitting in your chair. God can hear you when you're sitting at a table and a young lady asks you, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she just started talking to us. I wasn't wearing anything that said, "Rodney West, Pastor of Pisgah Church." And the third thing, when I'm tired from the journey, and I want to sit on the well for just a few moments, not only do I find Scripture to be a place that I can sit, not only do I find prayer to be a place where I can sit, but I also find sharing and bearing is a place where I can sit. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Sherry and I, Thursday morning, were driving down to Claremont, and we were talking, and I said, "You know, when I was a young man and felt called to the ministry, and our pastor sort of became my mentor. He was probably 65 years old, and he just sort of took me under his wings, and he was gracious enough to meet with me every Saturday morning for about 3 hours to just talk to me about what being a pastor means. First book he ever gave me was Dress for Success, How to Dress Like a Pastor. He said, "Make sure your breath's always good. Don't be eating onions and getting in people's faces to pray for them." But one of the things he said is this. He said, "As a pastor, you can't have close friends. You can't have men in your church that are close friends with you, because you don't want them to, you've got to maintain a distance because they're looking to you. They need to know that you're a little ahead of them on the journey. You're not three steps behind them." And he said, "And of course you can't talk to other pastors, because they may call the district superintendent and tell them what you're struggling with." And so for years and years, I never felt like I really had a close guy friend. And Sherry and I were talking about it Thursday as we were driving to Claremont. And I said, "You know what? I could name you three men right now at Pisgah that I feel like I could pick up the phone. I call them my 2 a.m. men. I could pick up the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and call them and say, 'I need prayer.' That I could say to them, 'Could you meet me somewhere and just let me talk to you?'" We are to care for each other. We are to share each other's burden. It's got to be more than somebody greeting you at the door and saying, "Good to see you. How are you?" "Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good." And deep inside we know, "I'm going through hell." There's got to be that sharing and caring and bearing each other up and lifting each other up. And that person that you can say, "I want to tell you something. I'm having a rough day. I'm having a rough week. My husband and I, my wife and I, we're having some issues. I've got a child that's a drug addict. I've got a grandson that's in the hospital. I've got a child that's going through this. I've got this going. Somebody that you can share who will say to you, let's pray. Take you by the hand and call your name before God and say, God, right now I lift up Carl Wood. You see what he's going through, Lord? I lift up Ken Peacock, Father. You see what he's going through, Lord? That sharing and caring. One of the reasons the world is not really all that interested in church is because they understand that we're just like the people outside the church. We pull up in our cars, we put off our regular mask, we put on our Sunday mask, and in we come. And we're all doing great, we're all doing good, things are going wonderful. And then we get back in the car and we pull the tissue back out again. We grab our handkerchief again. We go home and on the way there we think, oh God, I got to go back and face that situation again. Lord, tonight at midnight, I'm going to be walking the floor wondering, where's my son? Anytime the phone calls, Lord, and I see that name, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I got to go back and face that. Listen, we are called to do more than love each other by words. But we are called to bear each other's burdens. You don't have to walk up to a total stranger and say, hey, let me tell you my addiction. But there should be somebody in our life, there should be somebody in your life, there should be somebody in my life that I know that I could call them at 2:00 in the morning and say, I need prayer, I need you to meet me, I need us I just need to talk to somebody. And to know that they would say to us, I'll be there as soon as I get on some clothes, I'll be there. And know that when they walked out the door, it would never go beyond you and them. You have somebody like that in your life? Is there somebody, do you have a 2 a.m. friend? Because there are times that the journey becomes so tiring and so wearisome and so exhausting that you feel like, I don't think I can take another step. Come here, Ken. And you know what's good about those situations? Is when you're like that and you feel like, I can't make it. You got somebody there who's got you. And they say, I got you. And I'm going to pray for you. And I love you. And I don't care what you told me. I love you. Ken, I love you too, buddy. So, life can be exhausting. Life can wear you out. There are times that you're like Jesus. You're just so tired from the journey. And you find a well and you say, I just got to have a break. And God's word opens up to you. And you hear him say, I'm with you always. And you hear him say, I'm holding you. And you hear him say, there are other people that love you. you are not alone. Gracious Father, the journey can get overwhelming at times. And we just feel worn out at times. Maybe it's physically, maybe it's emotionally, maybe it's spiritually, maybe it's all three. And we're just tired from the journey. And yet we can come to the well of your word, the well of prayer, the well of support. Lord, thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, the God of the journey, the God who sees ahead and makes provision. So we're going to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand. Ken, don't come yet. You can come, but we're not getting ready to sing. I'm going to ask you to stand.